your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You are listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network with our, I guess I still didn't come up with a snappy name for this, but left side of the map Wednesday as we look at some of the teams in what was kind of maybe sort of the Western Conference, except not really, because I keep forgetting, for one, that Carolina is in our territory now. So it'll take some adjustment. But my name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings. I am here with Tom Gazzola from TSN 1260 and our Friday edition of Locked On NHL as well. And we are we're going to look at some big news and some big stories going on across the hockey world. And the first one we're going to start out with is one that actually came out in the middle of the day on Tuesday about the fancy pucks that the league was using. And they have announced, the National Hockey League has announced, that effective Tuesday night, they are not going to be using pucks with the embedded tracking technology because the pucks have not been working very well. And that's not in a tracking way. That's in a just not great pucks way. The statement from the league says, a review by the league determined that the first supply of 2020-21 pucks did not receive the same precise finishing treatments during the offseason manufacturing process as were used during the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs, which sounds a lot to me like everyone went, oops. So we are eagerly awaiting seeing more of this technology, but for right now, I would prefer no fancy pucks and having hockey and having players not make really bad plays because they have a puck that isn't doing what it's supposed to do, I guess.
There's been some really weird hops with this bad batch, let's call it, this bad batch of hockey pucks with tracking devices in them. And I was surprised when I saw that today. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I've noticed here in Edmonton being at the games, for a brand new building with supposedly excellent ice, although there have been times, especially when there's lots of concerts rolling through Edmonton, that's not happening clearly right now, where the ice actually had some issues. But for the time being, it's cold in the arena here. The ice plant's brand new-ish. The crew working on the ice is phenomenal. And there's been some really weird hops with the pucks. Maybe that's what the source of all of this is. And the league came right out and said it. Hey, we got a bad batch of pucks with the tracking devices in them. So we're going back to last year's pucks. Mm-hmm. And the new batch is on its way. Hopefully quality control is at a premium and they figure it all out and they'll test them appropriately. But just an odd quirk. And, you know, before we hopped on here, I said to you, I'm like, I'm just glad we have hockey. Like, I don't care if they used an old tennis ball to play these games, Sarah. I'm just glad they're playing.
Yeah, I've got a lacrosse ball around here somewhere that I can lend them if they really run out. But yeah, we were talking too, and I watched the Kings games, and Staples Center ice, not always great. There's a lot of traffic usually in and out of there as well between two NBA teams and lots of concerts and all that stuff. So everyone's used to the ice in LA not being perfect, but there were a bunch of just real uncharacteristic mistakes and pucks just kind of getting stuck somewhere and a guy taken off without it because it just didn't go on his stick. And, you know, that's not necessarily a mistake that most professional hockey players are going to make. I'll make it in beer league because I'm bad, but, you know, an NHL player usually doesn't take off without the puck. So, you know, they said that they had concerns raised about the puck's performance. So it makes me feel a little marginally bad for spending some time on my show kind of deconstructing some mistakes by one of our rookie players that may not have been his fault after all.
Yeah, it's funny. I really like the tracking system. And you can see in the shoulder on the back of players now, they have the chips embedded in the uniforms and they're noticeable. And I know we got a sneak peek last season and even the season before, I believe, at what the tracking and the metrics they'll be able to show and analyze. I really want to see this stuff. And something that I personally love to know and want to know every single game is offensive zone time, defensive mm-hmm. zone time. I think that's very telling for players and what they bring on a shift by shift basis. And it tells you a lot about a team. And it sounds simplistic, but good teams play in the offensive zone for most of the game. And I think we'll definitely be able to have that with this tracking system, but we need these damn pucks to have their tracking system working and for these pucks to be up to NHL standards. And clearly that's not happening, Sarah. So hopefully they get those kinks worked out with the physical finish on the puck, and we can have these analytics and all this data and break it all down, because I've been waiting for this for a long time. I remember mm-hmm. I was at the All-Star game in Columbus in 2015, and they were just trying out the chips in the mm-hmm. uniforms. I remember talking to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and he showed it to me, and I was like, oh, that's not too bad. I'm like, can you feel it? He goes, no. And here we are 6 years later almost, mm-hmm. and we don't even have these things because the damn pucks aren't working.
It's just one thing after another. Meanwhile, for those of us who cover the AHL, I would give, you know, my non-existent firstborn to just get time on ice in that league. But, you know, that's been allegedly coming for, you know, as long as they've been keeping stats, but not telling the rest of us. So,
right. And Sarah, the other thing too, I'm glad you brought that up, is in all 31 arenas, soon to be 32, especially this past off season, they installed all the technical aspects of the tracking systems in every rink. They have all the gear mm-hmm. in place, and that was expensive and a big endeavor. And they just need the actual equipment to work on the ice.
If it's not one thing, it's another. But hopefully soon we'll get to see that in action. We've got more thoughts on the early 2020-2021 NHL season coming up next. First, though, I want to tell you all about a Built Bar, because a Built Bar is the best protein bar that's out there on the market. Best protein bar ever, really. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including my personal favorite, cookies and cream. We've got apple almond crisp. We've got raspberry, banana bread, orange. So all sorts of flavors, whether you're someone who craves sweets or someone who wants something a little more, you know, healthy tasting. You can get all that from Built Bar. They're covered in 100% chocolate, so they're basically like you're eating a candy bar, only this one happens to be full of protein, full of fiber, low in calories, low in sugar, and just all around actually pretty good for you. So if you are someone who is super into exercising or hiking or fitness or eating clean or whatever, or if you just want a delicious snack, something to start your day out right to help you get some energy to get through the day, no matter who you are, Built Bar is a great product for you to give a try to. So go to builtbar.com, check out all the varieties they have available. There's also often special limited edition flavors, so you never know when a new exciting flavor is going to pop up for just a couple weeks, which is why you should go to builtbar.com, bookmark it, save it, sign up for their newsletter, whatever. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It is time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking of one thing and another, we've already got another game that is not going to happen because of COVID. The Carolina Hurricanes were supposed to play the Nashville Predators on Tuesday night, and earlier in the day on Tuesday, it was announced that that game was being postponed. It was going to be the second game in the series between those two teams. And five players now from the Hurricanes are on the COVID can't play list. Jordan Martinook, Warren Fogel, Teuvo Teravainen, Jacob Slavin, and Jordan Staal are all in COVID protocol, which we all know doesn't necessarily mean that they have it. It means they could have just been around someone who maybe has it, or someone woke up with a sore throat, and so now they're all quarantined. But we are already seeing In addition to the postponement of Dallas's first three games, they're now the only team without a win or a loss because they have not played yet. We're now seeing other games get postponed, and the Hurricanes game on Thursday night, they were supposed to play the Florida Panthers. That game is in doubt too, just because of uncertainty around what's going on with that. And this is one of those things where I feel like this is just the first one, and we'll much like in basketball, we're going to see waves of these go through the league, I think.
Yeah, it unfortunate. And, you know, we haven't even seen the Dallas Stars, like you mentioned, which is it sucks in a way, and it's kind of sad. And at the same time, a little bit funny. I mean, you hope nobody is that ill and that they're all recovering, but you're just like, well, everyone started and the Dallas Stars have been waiting and twiddling their thumbs, getting better and recovering, thankfully. Yeah, this is just, we know that the NHL has put in insulation in the schedule for these types of situations. They use an overabundance of caution, which is the best for everyone involved. And honestly, Sarah, like, we're in a time where I know it's running rampant, COVID is, not only in the US, but here in Canada, we've had a doozy of a time the last couple of months. In Alberta in particular, it's been rough. It really has been. And people are getting COVID all over the place. I'll just, a quick story in regard to this, totally related, is the day of the Oilers season opener against Vancouver, the entire media contingent had to get tested because we had a couple of positive COVID-19 test results come back from a couple members of our media. They're still out of action. Hopefully they're on the path to recovery. But we had to get tested the morning of the game. Until we got our results back, we were not allowed back into the building. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little bit rattled. And you get the stress and you're like, well, I was around so-and-so. We talked for 5 to 10 minutes. They were at a safe distance, we're all wearing masks, but could it have gotten through? And all these things, like, they play on your mind until you get that negative test. I remember when we found out about the positive cases among our media contingent here in Edmonton, all of a sudden I just started getting a headache. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. And then you get that negative result and bada bing, bada boom, the headache goes away. You know, the mind does funny things to your body. You're putting that stress on yourself. You're worried. You go, who did I see in that time? Mm-hmm. Did I see family members? I see elderly family members. And yeah, it that was a bit of a shock.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's good to see that the NHL is taking this seriously. And, you know, I knew that they would, because if they treated this kind of casually, it would be a PR nightmare. People already love to find reasons to criticize the NHL anyway. So of course they're going to do the best they can with this, but you know, there are already some reports saying, you know, questioning why aren't people getting tested as frequently as they thought they would be? Why isn't the same rapid testing protocols that we see in the NFL, particularly happening in hockey? But, you know, I think we're 2-3 games max into most of these seasons. So I think that there's still time for them to refine it as they find out, you know, what's working. I know basketball has certainly kind of gone back a couple of times to re-examine their protocols. So I imagine the same thing's going to happen here. But, you know, good to hear that it's being taken seriously. But yeah, the fear of, you know, not just the, oh, I feel weird today, but, oh, someone I was close to and spending time with, you know, now has a positive test, and which is a whole different feeling from, you know, oh, I woke up with a sore throat and a headache. You know, usually it's like you look online and everything tells you that you have some sort of rare disease and you're going to die, when it's really just you have a cold. Now it's like everything is, you know, I have a headache, my throat is sore, I'm kind of chilled. Like, do I have COVID? No, you just, it's now 20 degrees outside and you went out without a coat for a minute because you're dumb. Like, of course that's what it is, but just the fear around, you know, oh no, do I actually have to worry about this? I feel, yeah, it's just a struggle for anyone, even if you're a professional athlete, I'm sure.
Yeah, the mental gymnastics sucks around all of this. I just, I can't wait for this vaccine and everyone to go back to normal. Like, how normal is it to wear a mask now?
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life would I have said something like that. I never imagined.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like I walk out of my building and I'm wearing a mask. I'm walking in the hallways. I'm wearing a mask. And I walk outside now, Sarah. I leave my mask on. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, I got within 10 feet of someone on the sidewalk. Good thing I had my mask on. It's so bizarre. And it's almost a year now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, we are adaptable people, most of us. So, you know, we've got that going for us. But looking at actual hockey, because there are games being played that aren't being postponed. I know that you guys talked about this a little bit on Friday of kind of, you know, some teams that were impressing you and everything, but I wanted to kind of take a different tack of looking at it of, you know, there's always teams that we expected to be good. You know, we expected Vegas to be a good team, and here they are. They're 3-0 right now, and you know, have the best goal differential in their division. But I kind of wanted to take a look at teams that have maybe surprised us or disappointed us in you know, coming out these first couple of games not looking ready, or you know, looking like they could surprise everyone. So kind of want to get your feelings on kind of the not winners and losers, but who's kind of catching your attention right now in our two little chunks of NHL territory.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, the panic button's being hit so hard and so fast here in Edmonton. People are freaking out after a couple of really bad performances against Montreal. Montreal played absolutely phenomenally, and the Oilers have just been no-shows for every one of their losses this year. And my post-game show, Sarah, on Monday night was it was just deja vu to the dark times, the decade of darkness here in Edmonton. And people are losing their minds. We had some fire tippet text messages, a bunch of calls about how maybe it's time to look at trading a Draisaitl or a McDavid. And me and my producer, Hernan Salas from Locked On Oilers, are just like, oh my God, we are less than a week into the season. The Oilers are 1-3, and people are already losing their minds. It's incredible. So Ottawa, on a positive note, I'll throw that in there. Good for Ottawa, but the Oilers are going off the tracks in a hurry here. This is no bueno.
I follow a few people who write for SB Nation's Oilers site, and one of them posted a comment that they received on their latest game recap that was just literally like a whole screen of text talking about all the things that are wrong with the Oilers and trade this guy and fire this guy. And I'm like, yeah, you're 4 games in. Don't get worried yet. Like, calm down. It'll be okay. And if it isn't, like, I guess you can all say I told you so at the end of the season, but it's so early to, you know, unless you're the poor Chicago Blackhawks who have, you know, they're tied right now as we're recording this. So maybe they'll get their first point of the season. Who knows? But unless you're one of those teams, I think that everyone else just sort of needs to pump the brakes on their fire everyone train.
Yeah. I mean, I there's always pent up frustrations, and it's hard. You know what I've found myself doing is really reminding myself to not get caught up in the emotions of the fans. Mm-hmm. Take that step back, listen to what they're saying, read what they're texting in,
mm-hmm.
analyze it, and look at it from an outsider's perspective, and then try to hit it that way. But I'll tell you what. It is fun to dip into the emotions a little bit. It really gets people going.
Yeah.
And Sarah makes for good radio. That's sure.
Oh yeah.
I love it. Oh, I think I pushed some buttons last night and stirred the pot a little, and I'm guilty of it, and I don't feel bad for doing so. I'm not going to apologize.
Yeah. Get people talking.
Oh boy.
There is more coming up next, but first, are you ready for more sports? Because basically almost all of them, baseball is not quite there yet, but all of the sports other than that are doing things. They're doing the sports. Hockey is in full swing now. The NFL is veering towards the Super Bowl. We've got the NBA. We've got college sports. all of those things are out there, giving you some ideas maybe for things that you might want to put some money down on. And there is only one place that has you covered for all that, one place that we here at the Locked On Podcast Network trust. That is betonline.ag. You can sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Right now, if you go to betonline.ag, you can find out all sorts of great stuff about what they have available for you to even investigate. For hockey, they've got futures, they've got odds to win the Stanley Cup, they've got picks for division winners, they've got picks for who's going to win NHL awards. They also have some international hockey going on, so if you're a big fan of Finnish hockey or German hockey or some of the Russian minor leagues, you can investigate all that stuff on betonline.ag. So it's not just limited to NHL games and NHL players. There is more there for you than I could ever possibly really describe to you. So go check out betonline.ag, see all of the cool stuff that they have going on, and, you know, make sure you don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on that action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Of course, the NHL regular season is underway, and if you didn't know already, if you're new here today, the best way to keep track of it all is by subscribing to this very show, Locked On NHL. Local experts each week bring you the biggest stories, game recaps, and fantasy advice all in one podcast. So if this is your first time listening, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, if you just keep clicking on the links that you see on Twitter or on your social media feeds, but you haven't hit the subscribe button, go do that. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. There's, you mentioned Ottawa as one team that, you know, kind of has surprised you. And I certainly kind of joked about this on Twitter, but I definitely like willingly sat down and watched a Senators game just because I wanted to see Tim Stützle play and see how he made his NHL debut and everything. And Ottawa is one of those teams where I feel like people have just assumed that they're going to be bad, and they're not going to be great, but they are getting all of that young talent that's ready now for the NHL. And I think that they could surprise people by, you know, not being one of the bottom three teams in the league, which I think is a step up for them. Also, Detroit has been, you know, they're 1-3, so it's not like they're, you know, rocketing to the top of their division, but they have already in just a handful of games looked more competitive than they have at any point in time last season. And, you know, they're still, like Ottawa, going to be down there in that bottom chunk, but yeah, you can see that they have guys who want to be there, who have bought in to it, even guys, you know, like Bobby Ryan, who just signed a 1-year deal, guys who know that they're not long-term pieces there, but they seem like they're playing with a little more passion and confidence maybe than we ever saw from them last season. I just think about all the times we saw like sad Dylan Larkin being asked to for his team for the 70th time. And now, you know, he's a captain now. He fought his best friend the other day.
Yes.
In a game. There's at least some spirit with the Detroit Red Wings. Whether or not that's going to translate into even a like break-even record, I don't know, but it's good to see them, you know, coming out with a little fire every so often.
Speaking of the Red Wings and their battles with the Blue Jackets and the Werenski Larkin fight, I am watching the Blue Jackets from way out over here and going, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Tortorella continues to air their dirty laundry, and the Pierre-Luc Dubois stuff is mm-hmm. not going anywhere. The guy's mm-hmm. trying to play and be their best centerman and still want out. And it's interesting that Columbus wants to make everything public. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It's obviously a strategy, and it's one you don't see used very often. Yeah. And maybe they just want to, I don't know, embarrass the player, or they use it as a position of power somehow, or they see it as a type of strength by playing it this way. But to me, just historically, from what I've seen, that never results mm-hmm. in positivity on the scoreboard at the end of the night mm-hmm. and then ultimately the standings. And the Jackets might, I mean, when you have this black cloud hanging over mm-hmm. you and you've got your coach feeding into it And then you have your best or one of your best players also feeding into it, probably reluctantly, but it's all out there. This is a recipe for disaster. And this is a Columbus team that's trying to scrape and claw for everything it can get. You know, they're kind of the people's team. People really like them and enjoy watching them. But all these pieces keep moving on to other teams and wanting out. And their coach doesn't do any favors by, first of all, being a jackass to the media outright. And secondly, he puts his players publicly in tough spots, and that wears thin after a while. It really does.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes we've seen these kind of surfaced by agents or, you know, it's really more the players' camp trying to force someone's hand. But yeah, it's just the fact that this is a pattern in Columbus for whatever reason, whether it's a player, an agent, a coach, a front office leak or whatever. The fact that we have seen this multiple times, that we saw it, you know, years past with Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky, both of whom were kind of like, Panarin especially, were like, well, I want to play somewhere big. And, you know, I have been to Columbus. I think it's a fine city. It's, you know, it has a kind of small Midwestern feel. It's not New York City, but there's nothing wrong with Columbus as a city. I don't like driving there. The roads are really confusing, but you know, that's not a reason for a hockey player to want to leave. But, you know, it's just, I feel for Blue Jackets fans who are in the midst of this once again. I mean, as someone who covers the Kings and has had a long affection for Jeff Carter, I can always think of his time in Columbus as maybe the like one of the original players for the Blue Jackets who was just very not happy to be there, very publicly not happy to be there, and just sort of the relief that everyone felt on all sides once they shipped him out to the Kings. And so there's a little bit of, not humor, but a little irony in the fact that the Kings are one of the teams that keeps getting brought up as a possible trade partner for the Blue Jackets, for Dubois. And everyone's like, well, we know what happened last time. And I was like, yeah, but the Kings aren't, they're not one guy away from winning the Stanley Cup. But it's just, I have a lot of friends who are Blue Jackets fans. I have friends who live in Columbus. And you know, I just feel bad for them. This is always, every season, a story with their team, and there's no reason why it should be, you know, and if the problem is the coach, then that's something the front office needs to think about. Like if that's what's driving players away, or if there is something internally that's making players not want to be there, you know, I would think, as a person who works in my day job in human resources and does a lot of work to figure out, you know, why are people leaving? Why aren't people happy? You know, that's someone's job to figure it out and to fix it, because, you know, it's one thing to lose your financial analyst or the guy who does your, you know, your payroll at the end of the day. It's another thing to lose a guy who makes millions of dollars a year putting a puck in a net, and a little harder to replace than you know, your run of the mill accountant or something.
That's so true. And yet you have to wonder, maybe Kekalainen and John Tortorella are on the same page. Maybe they're in lockstep and they drive a hard bargain. And they don't budge that often. That might be a driving force for some of these players to leave too. But at least with Artemi Panarin, he outright said, you know, I just want to play in a bigger market. I've had a lot of fun in Columbus. It is, they have a phenomenal facility. And you know, Ohio State's not far away. It's interesting. It's because we've seen it here in Edmonton. We certainly have. Winnipeg deals with it a lot. Calgary gets it to a certain extent. And it's Buffalo even. And you look at the team in the city and the management, you go, okay, what is driving these players away? And when it's one or two guys who are a little bit high strung or their wives want out, okay. But when it becomes more and more high end players, and if they truly have no issue with the city, they just want to win, but they want to be in a good environment, then you start to veer your head towards and your eyes and attention towards what's going on with the coaching and the management team and the entire staff. Like, what is really happening when you peel back the curtain and you start to look behind it? then you start to see what the true situation is. And if it's toxic, then you know that's why these players are wanting out.
Yeah, and Edmonton at least had the Connor McDavid effect of suddenly people were taking Edmonton off of their please do not trade me their lists. I feel like Winnipeg kind of got the same thing with Patrick Laine, but now that he's allegedly disgruntled too, you know, that may change. But, you know, the sudden influx of players wanting to go to Edmonton after, you know, years of knowing that, you know, player X turned down a trade to the Oilers because the Oilers, and now all of these guys being like, yeah, I want to go play with Connor McDavid, who I feel like is probably frustrated in his own right.
Yes.
It's at least been something for them to know that they can start getting some of those players, even if so far it's not always paying off, I guess.
Oh no, it's not. We're in season 6. They've had 1.5 postseason berths.
Oh man.
Good times.
Yeah, I'm just expecting Oilers fans to just find this and be mad about it probably too.
I'll hear about it.
Yeah.
I'll hear about it, trust me.
Well, we will close today with one thing that is positive. It's a little bit on the East Coast beat for our Tuesday gentlemen who run the show, but it has a little bit of a special meaning for me as someone covering California hockey, and that is the fact that the Bruins announced earlier that they're going to be retiring Willie O'Ree's number in February. He was, of course, the first Black player to play in an NHL game back in 1958 and had a brief NHL career, played most of his time in some of the kind of minor leagues and secondary leagues. He did play quite some time in Southern California, a lot of time in Los Angeles with not the Kings, obviously, but with other leagues there, and then in San Diego. And his number is actually retired in the San Diego Gulls arena currently, and he lives down there and has been a really visible face around the Kings and I believe also the Ducks and the Gulls, their organizations. He has always shown up at Kings games to be honored and has done a lot of work as well with Blake Bolden, who is now a scout and does diversity work for the Kings. And you know, seeing him around Southern California and just wondering when this man was going to get the honors that he deserved. And now he is inducted in the Hall of Fame and going to get his number raised up by the Bruins in February. So a long time coming for someone who broke one of the biggest barriers in hockey, and excited to get to see him finally get his moment, even though it should have happened quite some time ago.
Hey, it's great that they're finally recognizing and honoring him with a jersey retirement in Boston. And he did it with one eye, Sarah, mm-hmm. with one eye. Incredible. And I had the good fortune of meeting him, 21 years ago at NHL Breakout. It used to be a street hockey tournament that the league ran. And he was doing like clinics and saying hi to all the players in the tournament, helping out coaching certain teams. I remember he came and hung out with our team, and on my team was future NHLer Mark Fistrick. And I was like, wow, this Willie O'Ree guy has way more energy than half of my team right now. And he's like 50 years older than all of us. And he was such a cool dude. I still have a picture with him and me and Mark that my mom dug out of the archives, let's call it. And just great to see Willie O'Ree getting more and more recognition for all of the contributions he has provided to not just the NHL, Sarah, but like you mm-hmm. said, all of hockey, basically from coast to coast.
A bit of a shame that he's not going to get to do it and be recognized in front of fans, but hopefully once people are welcomed back into arenas that he can get a part two of being yes. honored by the Bruins and a little tour around the league, maybe of other teams realizing that they also need to give him his moment, because he is a very important figure in hockey history. And pretty much every Black player in the league has said that he has been, you know, an inspiration to them and one of the people who made them think that they could make it too. So excited to see him, you know, get some more time in the spotlight for all of his achievements. So we'll keep an eye on that and check back in February to see how the ceremony went. that's sort of it for today. That's our fun topics. That's our complaints and our occasional grievances for this week. We'll be back next week with more as we get more and more games under our belts and can make actual slightly more accurate maybe predictions or judgments on some of these teams. For people who want to continue following along with you and maybe getting a little taste of the Oilers fan complaints, where can they find you online?
Oh, at Tom Gazzola, 2 Z's and an Ola, and TSN 1260, as well as NHL Network from time to time. Sarah, I got to go fix those pucks I messed up. Bad batch. Back to the factory I go.
Yep. Get on a plane right now. Go take care of it. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah, where I am sharing the Kings fans' laments over whatever they're trying to do this year. This show is available on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods, where we not only share information about this show, but also all of our shows across the network. So you can keep up with what is happening across the league. Make sure you're subscribing to the show if you haven't already. We've got great content all week long. Tomorrow is Chris Maselli and Adam Denker talking hockey, talking fantasy hockey, talking sports betting. Whatever comes to mind for them is up next tomorrow on this show. So make sure you come back and keep listening. Until then, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.